Welcome to the doubled up podcast.
Welcome to the doubled up podcast. Let's go.
Welcome to the Doubled Up Podcast, the weekly podcast talking all things trainers, sneakers, kicks, creps, whatever you call them, wherever you are in the world. I'm Matt, and with me as he is every single week is Scott. Scott, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, a long odd week. I'm done. I'm glad it's Friday.
It is a Friday. And after last week of sort of almost bringing back the Doubled Up Drinkers Club for a very short period of time, I know you're there with your handled beer glass drinking something alcoholic.
Oh, it's proper. It is Newcastle Brown Ale.
Oh, God. I'm supposed to be the old one here. I'm the one that's just turned 30. You're an old man.
Yeah, it's because, as I said before, Verity's grandfather got me this beer mug with a handle and gave me a selection of beers.
Handle-worthy beers?
Yeah, literally. And they are like proper, yeah, you go into the dusty old cupboard in the house and open it and you find like these, yeah, proper beers, as they'd call them. And I open up one of them and I do feel like I need a handle on my mug when I drink them. So the Newcastle Brown Ale. I can't even remember the last time I had a Newcastle Brown Ale.
I don't think I've ever had one.
The bottle itself looks just old. Like the logo, the branding and everything. You just look at it and you go, oh, that's a proper old school drink, that.
Nice.
Never modernized.
Well, I mean, hey, you've got your beer glass with your handle. We had a couple of submissions last week for people showing off their glasses. Good friend of the podcast, Damo, sharing a very majestic looking horn full of alcohol, which I don't think I've ever seen a glass that spectacular, which was very quickly followed after us resharing it on the Instagram page of Youngie on Instagram sharing the Jordan 3 shot glasses. So I feel like, hey, we love to see a friendly glass competition going on here, especially on a Friday night drinkers club. I'm letting the side down though, Scott, because I'm on the water after actually having wine this week. I've become the world's worst wino after saying the one thing I wanted to achieve this year was getting into wine. It's taking me until basically March to actually drink any wine. But Hannah's dad came round this week for a couple of nights, and he insisted that we had some wine with our meals this week. So we had some white wine yesterday, some red wine the night before, but he picked it, so I have no idea what it is or anything about it. So I still feel like I failed. But no, it's a Friday night and I'm on the waters, unfortunately.
Honestly, letting the team down. But yeah, I want to see now. I mean, before it was just drinks and sneakers, but now it's like, yeah, it's become a bit of a competition as to
we've
who
merged
has
the two.
Who
drinks
has
and
the
sneakers.
Best.
It's now sneaker-related drinks.
Honestly, yeah, it is. Well, I mean, I did actually see an article that popped up that there is a brewing company that is releasing an Air Max beer. Like, that is the brand. And I'm going to have to find it now. But yeah, I was very impressed with this beer. The fact, I can't remember, who was it with? They must have been Sneaky Jaegers. And yeah, there you go. Craig Stroud is combining craft beer and sneakers with the Ale Max One.
Oh, that's a cool name as well.
Yeah, it started as a passion, combining the two things that I love. I feel like I need some of this now. There are quite a few parallels between sneakers and craft beer. Sneakers are a part of the cultural phenomenon and they transcend age, much like beer. I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes. And the cans, look at the cans.
Oh, wow. Listeners aren't going to be able to see this, but it's basically
so
grey cans with a sale midsole, essentially. And you've got the anniversary reds and the royal blue colours, which, hey, talking about the royal blue colours, have you seen, Scott, the rumoured Air Max day? Because obviously we're recording on the 1st of March today. And of course, we're now in Air Max month.
Ooh.
Oh, lots of exciting stuff happening. And straight away, the internet has been flooded with pictures of LeBron James wearing sort of the royal Air Maxes. I don't know if you've seen this.
I have seen them. I saw some absolutely terrible images where someone has clearly taken a picture of them and like photoshopped the background out from whatever they were, and the image looked awful. However, also whoever took the picture put "it's coming" as a tag, but actually just put "it's coming," COMMING. So I don't know who this person was, but they've made an absolute mess of this.
Oh dear.
But
But
the
it's basically
LeBron
the royal
pictures.
version. It's the royal version of the sort of Air Max Day anniversary
Yeah.
red, isn't it? With the vault sole.
I will say I prefer these to the red pair, the
Oh,
anniversary
100%,
reds that
yeah.
they did. But that vault sole, I'm not sold. I don't know about it at all. It's really strange. It throws me off a little bit. So yeah, I mean, people will love this and people go mad for it, especially the Air Max heads. But yeah, I'm not sure. I'm excited to see what comes out Air Max Day. Obviously, there's a lot of rumors, big pairs, 180s, Air Max ones, et cetera, et
Yeah.
cetera. But yeah, at the moment, obviously, it's been a little bit yeah, kind of quiet. There is obviously pictures of the actual Royal 86 as
Yes.
well, which I mean, to be fair, if the Royal 86 comes out, that might be. I love my anniversary red big bubbles, so yeah, having the blue pair as well complete the set might be quite nice. But at the
Yeah.
moment, it's been all a bit hush hush. There's not nothing made like last time. It was when we had the Bacons come out, everyone was like, "Oh my God, Bacons!" And this time, it's like it's coming, but we don't really know what as much.
Well, I feel, yeah. No, I feel like to a certain degree there has been. If I'm thinking about previous Air Max days, last year everyone was raving about the fact that we had the big bubble. And obviously it was months in advance that we heard about big bubble coming. The year before that, we were having the concepts pack. And again, months before we heard about the concepts packs. Year before that, we had the, I think it was maybe the year before that, or I might be sort of missing a year or so. That was when we had the Bacon 90s, again, months beforehand. You have got to think that it was a couple of months ago that we saw that they were releasing Air 180s. So we have had some like rumored releases that people can get a little bit excited about. I just think the 180 isn't as popular as the ones, and therefore in comparison, and the 90s, and therefore in comparison to other years, maybe it hasn't sort of had the same traction in the rumor mill. But yeah, I'm going to be excited. You say you haven't heard much, so Scott. Hush, 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 hush. As you said, we are recording on literally the 1st of March. Like you're saying that not much has been released or not much has been announced. We are very early on in Air Max month, and also we have been seeing a big push from Nike with the is it the DN? So hey,
Yeah, a
we'll
lot
see
with the
how
DN.
that goes. We'll see
And
how that goes.
the Spiridons appeared as well. There's been a lot of talk of Spiridons kind of pushing back again this year. So they have been pushing stuff, but yeah, it's Air Max Day though, isn't it? Like you just there is that little bit of ooh, forget Sneakers Day and all that malarkey. Air Max Day is one of the best marketing schemes that Nike has ever created.
Well, talking about Air Maxes and Air Max Day, I know a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, I said that my amazing colleagues had got me a £100 voucher for Offspring. And I think I said on the podcast that I was toying between the idea of just going onto Offspring straight away and buying something. But I had sort of 2 episodes ago floated the idea of keeping that £100 sat there just in case for Air 180s, because everyone knows on the podcast that's been listening to a little while now, I am a big fan of the 180s. And all I have to say, Scott, is I'm glad that Air Max Day is after my March payday, because I spent my £100 voucher this week. So I'm gonna need some money to buy some 180s. But I sort of teased it last week on the podcast when we were going through last week's double up, but grab myself a pair of the Offspring ZX8000, Scotty boy, the Londons. And I'm very, very happy that I did. I know we were toying or sort of debating, do we buy them? Do we not? Do we buy them? Do we not? And for me, everyone knows that I love a grey runner. Everyone knows that I love a ZX8000, and everyone knows that I love London. Me now declaring myself as a Londoner after moving from Hampshire to London, like I love this city, I absolutely love London. So for me, this was sort of ticking all of the boxes for me. But leading up to this shoe releasing, I was so adamant that I wasn't going to buy it because of the fact that I'm going through this kick at the minute where I'm trying to think of, or I'm trying to reduce the number of shoes I have in my collection that just gather dust on a shelf. And I thought, how many grey runners do you really need, Matt? Like, how many do you need? I honestly have so many pairs of white leather trainers, so many pairs of grey runners that it's stupid at this stage. But that's what I'm drawn to. I love grey runners. I love white leather trainers. So, hey, at least I know something that sort of sticks a little bit in my taste. But of course, it felt like it was the stars aligning, having a £100 Offspring voucher sort of a week or two prior to them dropping this shoe. And as I said, very, very happy that I did. This was the, I think, semi-final. It was the semi-final shoe that won Offspring the round in the Consortium Cup. And honestly, Scott, this has become one of my favorite, instantly, one of my favorite ZX pairs in the collection. The suede is beautiful, like the sort of nubuck suede around the mudguard is so premium. The hairier looking suede towards the side of the shoe is beautiful. The sort of really soft leather cage on the back of the shoe, gorgeous. The mesh is some of the thickest sort of ballistic mesh I've seen on a ZX. The sort of gold on the side that says London just looks so
It looks
premium.
so good.
So
That's one of my
premium.
favorite touches.
Yeah, the little sort of embossed Offspring logo on the heel, gorgeous. And I tried this shoe on, and straight away I had to message Aaron, obviously good friend of the podcast, Aaron, who no longer works at Offspring but was part of Offspring when this sort of design happened. He was involved in the designs, and I messaged him like, "What have you done to this shoe? This is the comfiest ZX I own." And all he responded was, "It's all premium, mate. It's all premium." And like, that was all he had to say for me to kind of go, oh, okay, I get it. Because when you squidge the midsole of this shoe, it almost feels like it's borderline boost. Like, I know we've been saying that ZXs have got comfier because of the fact that they've got a boost
They
lining
did, yeah, I was gonna
inside.
say there's some boost in it, don't
The certain parts of this midsole are so squishy, it almost feels like boost.
they? Yeah.
And it's so padding on the heel, or like, sorry, the sock liner. It really, I slipped this shoe on and thought, oh, okay, yeah, this could very easily be your everyday wearer. It looks classy, it feels premium, and it is so, so comfy. So I'm very, very happy. And I got it for a whopping $13.99, including next day delivery, because I ordered my pair online. I didn't go into the shop. I know I said last week, Scott, I was thinking of going into the shop to get all the extras with Hannah's dad coming. He arrived on the day they released, and I thought, you know what, I'm not going to travel into London on the day that family's coming over just to get a scarf that I'm probably not going to wear. Scarf's really cool, but it's one of those things that it'll sit in the bottom of the drawer forever and ever and ever. So, just ordered my pair online with the slightly earlier release, and yeah, managed to get some student discounts. So, I know
Nice.
at the end of the year, when we're doing our sort of pickup review and we get to the category of our biggest bargain or best deal, whatever it is, I already know what my best deal is going to be because this is the best $13.99 I think I've ever spent.
Yeah, I mean, for £13.99, it has to be. I'm getting increasingly jealous of not having that pair.
You should be. Honestly, this is
It
right up your street.
is annoyingly so. I was there, like, oh, I have some grey runners, and then I actually looked and I was like, I have one, and it's just a GR response CL, and that's the reason I got it, because I had obviously those Adidas vouchers ages ago, and just picked it up because I didn't have a grey runner, but. It is one of those where when I looked, saw the images, I was there, like, obviously you got the end pair and the offspring pair, both of them very good, both of them very, very different. And the more I saw the end pair, I thought I really like that pair. And then the more I saw the offspring pair, I was like, I quite like that pair, but it is just a grey runner. It was only when I saw it was almost the opposite. So when I saw the end pair in hand, it kind of put me off. I was there like, all right, yeah, it's fine, but I'm not as fussed. When I keep seeing this offspring pair in hand, I do keep going, oh, they look really good. And then I keep seeing people with the scarf, which looks really cool. And then obviously there's the figurine that came with it that was really cool. And yeah, it just looks really good. They look really premium. And I will say I've spoken to a lot of people about this shoe, and the comfort is something that has been mentioned quite a bit, in terms of it does feel more comfortable, which
To
is
put it into
strange.
perspective, like we've spoken before about the A to ZX series and the idea that the Lego ZX was like the most comfy ZX in that range, and it was because of the fact they had a much thicker sock liner. This is on that level where it's got that level of thickness, but it's also that midsole feels so much more squidgy that it just makes it like super snug, but not in like a it's tight on your foot way, just on a it's really, really comfy. Yeah, 100%. They've sold out on the Offspring website, but if
They
you can
have.
sort of if you can manage to find a pair either on another website or if you can find them like on a decent price secondhand, honestly,
So,
Scott, I would really recommend you trying to grab a pair because
yes.
these are a great collection, like pair to add to the
This is
collection.
the problem. I had them in my basket and I didn't pull the trigger, and
Uh-oh.
there was a re I was there like, oh, you know, there's other pairs I'm looking at that I'd quite like, but I do keep seeing it and going, and I'm kind of annoyed that I haven't picked them up. I'm getting FOMO now of missing out on everything and not having anything. But I am heading into Birmingham this
Ooh.
weekend, and there is a Selfridges and an Offspring in Birmingham, so these will
Maybe.
be they I they will have pairs of these in there, but whether they are my size
Another
is
story.
a different story altogether. So yes, no, very, I mean, for that price you would have been stupid not
Yeah.
to. And they are a very, very good pair, and
Yeah.
the consortium, aren't they? It's just
Exactly.
better. It's just better.
Although it has made me. Now, this is where like the stupidity of sneakerheads, like our brains go, because in my head I'm like, so I've got the Offspring Sambas, I've got the Offspring ZX, the final pair is going to be releasing, and now in my head I'm thinking, do I go back and get the Centennial? Because like
I knew it.
you can't have three of the four.
This is it.
You've
This
either
is
got to
it.
have like one or four, surely, right? Like.
This is the problem. It's the same with the end pair. I was there like, well, I've got the past, but do I get the present and the future? I like the future, but if I get the future, it feels weird having past and future and not the present. So I'd have to go get that. And yeah, I must admit, the final Offspring pair, I am very, very interested to see what that pair looks like and what the release is, because they've done very nice things with their releases so far. But that shoe is a brand new shoe that will never have been seen before, with a response upper, which I love, and then obviously this mad chunky outsole. I'm very excited to see
Yeah.
this, and I wonder when it's going to come as well, because you would assume with from production point of view it's going to take a lot more effort to put
Yeah.
that together, but
I think
we shall see.
that's the one I'm a little bit skeptical on. If it's
Oh
really,
yeah.
really, if it's really, really nice and I end up getting a pair, then I might have to see if I can sort of get the
I
Centennial on the cheap because they're currently
think you
still
will.
full size run. It's the only one so far that stayed in stock on the Offspring website. I have a feeling it might hit the sale because of the fact that Centennial is a little bit sort of more on the bland side. That was a round that wasn't as popular compared to the other rounds. And yeah, we might end up with a full collection. We're not entirely sure.
I'm eyeing up a lot of them pairs that are like Sambas and stuff that are still sitting around, because they will eventually hit the sales, and when they do, they're being swept up.
Yeah, 100%. Well, we talking about shoes being swept up. You actually sort of raised a little bit of an article that we sort of wanted to have a little bit of a chat about in this sort of early section of the podcast, and that was an article, Scott, that you saw on the Hype Beast Instagram, which was titled "Is the Sneaker Industry Destined for Collapse?" Which, if anyone hasn't seen it already, it was an article on the 28th of Feb. And it's on the Hypebeast website. It's quite an interesting article that sort of talks about the idea that over sort of the last 12 months and previous years, the sneaker industry and the sneaker culture has taken a big sort of shift compared to sort of previous years. And it goes on to talk about the idea that sort of consumers in today's day and age jumping on popular styles has started to increase sellout rates for different types of releases. It notes things like the Gazelle in the article, the 550 and the Dunk Low, and it sort of gives some interesting statistics about sort of how trends evolve and how it has a big impact on whether or not that shoe is selling out. So it talks about the idea that from Nike, obviously a couple of years ago, the Dunk was one of the biggest shoes out there, right? From sort of 2020 to 2023, Dunks were huge sellout shoes. And it talks about the fact that Nike was experiencing a 19% sellout rate in 2021, which rose to 33% in Dunks peak in 2023, which is interesting because in my eyes, I actually saw the Dunk declining in 23 compared to 21. But that sort of goes on to some of the things that is mentioned later on in the article about the idea that these trends, as soon as sort of consumers move on from the trends, it has a huge U-turn because nowadays we're seeing Dunks just sitting on shelves. I think I referenced it a couple of episodes ago that we have Brazil Dunks sitting everywhere, which never would have happened a couple of years ago. And it talks about the Gazelle being that it sort of had a 65%, or sorry, 65% of shoes, or sorry, 65% of pairs fly off the shelves or have been flying off the shelves over the last 3 years. However, due to the fact that the Gazelle and Samba and these shoes have saw a huge increase in popularity, Adidas have been increased in the production, and what is now left is a 600% leftover in the model in 2023. And it's really interesting, this article, the idea that it's sort of saying that because of trends and brands constantly trying to keep up with trends, we see this huge spike in pairs selling out, which then instantly sort of falls off a cliff, seeing pairs sitting on shelves. So yeah, Scott, you sort of raised this article, and I've sort of stolen your thunder here and explained a lot about what's mentioned in here, but it's really, it's an interesting read.
It is. It really is. And I think, the title is "The Sneaker Industry Destined for Collapse." Well done. It's an attention-grabbing title, and it was, because it kind of, we've said for past year, maybe two now, that the sneaker industry and the culture, the scene, whatever you want to kind of give the name to it, has changed quite a lot from when we started this podcast. It was hype after hype after hype, releases, raffles all the time. Everything was a raffle, neck all the time. And this article says, actually, in terms of raffles, there's nowhere near as many as there used to be. And I think actually there's a lot of product that's being raffled that really has no need to be raffled whatsoever. It's almost, we kind of need to put something on our launches page. Like, we can't have it empty all the time. And it is, all of these kind of silhouettes that are, they are flooding the market. I mean, to kind of use Mark's quote, to NMD it, but it is all of these Dunks, it's 550s, it's Sambas, it's Gazelles. It is one model with constant colorways being flooded the market, and people are buying them, but obviously the amount they're putting out potentially doesn't necessarily match the vast demand that is there. And it is, I think, there is a lot of, I mean, I know it talks about Gen Z there, but it is a bit different because they are looking at pairs that are very similar from one another. They are looking at kind of these hyped, I say hyped models, but retro kind of heritage silhouettes that are obviously very popular, as opposed to what it previously was, where people were kind of going massive hyped stuff. I mean, I mentioned to you earlier, I was on a meeting with somebody that was working from home, and their daughter walked in, saw my stack of shoes, and went, "Oh my God," kind of hijacked the meeting. But what she was looking at, she was there like, "Oh my God, have you got Dunks? Oh my God, have you got Forums? Have you got?" And I'm there like, Gazelles and sat, and I'm there like, yeah. I mean, there's Travis Scott Jordan sat behind me, and she was there like, it was, couldn't give a shit. Didn't make a difference, because that's not what her and her friends are wearing. They're all wearing these models. And it isn't, like I said, the 600% leftover stock. When you think, you would say that Adidas is having one of the biggest years they've had in years. Is it a case of oversaturation? Who knows? But then at the same time, like I said, the fact that it's being predicted that it is going to take off, and it is going to boom again, is interesting, because there is still a level of demand, certainly with a lot of these. And I think the collabs, it kind of, it uses the term kind of monotonous collaborations and uneventful sneaker raffles. You kind of agree to a degree, because it is, there is a lot of raffles that kind of go up and you're there like, oh, another, I remember we said it before, another collaboration. Great. Another, it was collaborations without meaning, really, without kind of much importance. And we do still see a lot of them, but I don't think we see, it doesn't seem to be as fatiguing. I don't know whether we've just accepted it
No,
all
no,
now
no.
and gone, move on with it, or.
Let's have a little look at like Double Up, Double Down over this year, right? Like there was a stage, sort of probably about 2022, where we were having to put big collaborations as sleeper picks because it was a collaboration that just wasn't as big of a collaboration as the other big collaboration that was dropping that week, if that makes any sense. It's like, oh, you have ALD doing a collaboration with New Balance, but it's also the same week that Travis is doing a collaboration with Jordan. So we'll do the double up as Travis and we'll do the ALD as sleeper pick. Like nowadays, if you look at all of the double up, double down segments that we've been doing this year, there's multiple weeks where there's a pair of GRs as the sleeper pick. If not some weeks, it's a GR as the double up and the sleeper pick, which to me shows the number of collaborations are dropping, which I think, again, it's brands reacting. I do think that at the minute there's a little bit more meaning behind collaborations, which is a good thing because we needed to get back to that stage. But it is interesting, like you said there, Scott, the article does say, despite the downfall of hype launches and collaborative projects, German data platform Statista has predicted that the global sneaker market will grow dramatically in the next 4 years, estimating a 5.18% leap from 2024 to 2028. So it's interesting to see where that leap is going to be coming from because they don't say much other than the fact that big brands Nike, Adidas, and New Balance are going to continue to innovate. Obviously, we mentioned at the start of this segment about the Air Max DN, which Nike is really, really pushing for this month with Air Max Month and Air Max Day. It's going to be interesting to see sort of where this goes, whether it is brands going back into their catalog, whether it's sort of innovating new products. We've seen New Balance year on year on year do a really good job of this, where we've sort of, I've said in previous episodes, New Balance are really, really good at distracting us with the shiny things, where they always have a constant flow of retro sneakers that they sort of go, oh, the 550 is really, really popular. Here's a shiny new thing. And by the time the
They're doing it now,
550
aren't they?
dies,
They got the New Balance, was it 1000s, the Joe Fresh
1000s.
goods, where it's like,
People
ooh,
are
and there they
people are
are.
getting sick and tired of the 9060. People are getting sick and tired of the 2002R as that sort of 1906 2002R trend sort of maybe creeps out a little bit. Here's a nice shiny new thing. Here's a New Balance 1000. New Balance are really, really good at that.
And I think, looking at the article, it talks about kind of gazelles and collaborations with Gucci, Gazelle, Miu Miu, and New Balance 574, and it talks about the price points of collaborations, and actually that they sit on shelves because they, I mean, they've put it as a clash with modern day inflation and consumer spending habits, and obviously that is something to take into consideration, because you do end up having, well, collabs are really high prices. They are higher price points. They add another 20, 30 quid on top, but people actually don't have that extra money to spend in general, so they are looking at GRs because they're there. And then you've got things like Crocs, which, I mean, they mention Crocs quite a lot of this, and they do mad collaborations, like with Toy Story, which everybody seemed to jump on, and Cars and all of this. And they're not terrible price points, but they still help you stand out a little bit. So that it is very interesting, like I say, with the boom, and it talks about innovation, but at the same time, the prevalence of heritage models. So there's a lot going on there, and it does kind of put a spotlight on the vastness of the industry as well, and not just kind of what we look at and the lovely shiny kind of hyped things and that we kind of want in our collections, but also kind of the bigger picture. But yeah, it's an interesting one. Is I mean to answer the question, is the sneaker industry destined for collapse? I don't think so.
Good clickbait for the title. It's definitely interesting because,
It's
like
a
you
good
said,
article. It's a good article.
we're sort of emerged in this sort of culture or bubble or whatever you want to call it, and we tend to see what we're surrounded by. We're in these little echo chambers of sellouts and certain models being seen on Instagram all the time. And when you actually see sort of the statistics behind it, it does sort of open your eyes to sort of exactly what's happening. This 600% sort of leftover is mad. But when you really think about it, I can go into any shop in London and I'm going to be able to walk out with the
Yeah.
gazelle, a samba, or a handball special.
Yeah.
And although you see everyone, you can't go on a tube in London at the minute without seeing those shoes. Also, when you compare the amount of people in London versus the amount of
Yeah.
shoes on shelves, it's impossible to meet it.
But it's also like it kind of links to a thing that Welty put on about kind of Pandas being one of the most influential shoes to release in the past like 5 years. And actually this feeds directly into this because it has created this kind of industry of, okay, here's one shoe and everybody's buying it and it's a GR. It created this hype for a GR product, which has fed into everything else instead of the hyped releases. It was almost like the anti-hype kind of shoe of the year. And that caused some controversy. But stuff like this does kind of prove his point. So yeah.
Absolutely. Well, as I said, check out the article on Hypebeast because it is an interesting read for anyone that wants to sort of look at the full breakdown. It's not a huge, huge article, but obviously we're just sort of plucking out bits that we like the look of and having a little discussion on here. So have a little look on the Hypebeast website for that. But I think it's probably time to move into our first main segment of the episode, Scotty Boy, which is, of course, Shoes Round. Every single week, we spend a little bit of time looking back at some of the biggest news stories that have happened in the world of footwear and give our thoughts and opinions. This week, it is me taking Shoes Round. So without further ado, I'll pass over to me for Shoes Round. Oh, Scotty boy, I feel like there's only one news article that we can talk about during this segment, isn't there really? And that is, of course, Mr. Yay has decided to go on the internet again. It's probably the biggest
That's
news story.
it. It's literally like he's on the internet.
Yeah.
That is the story. He's back.
Yeah,
Ugh.
Yay's on the internet. And there we go. Story's happened. It's probably the biggest news story that happened this week. We've seen some sort of other leaked rumors and things like this, but as far as news stories are aware it was concerned, this is sort of the biggest one, and that is that Ye has said that Adidas is suing him for $250 million and also accusing Adidas of dropping fake Yeezys. Now, we saw earlier on in the week Adidas drop a pair of steel gray Yeezy Boost 350 V2s. And immediately after the shoes went onto the Confirmed app, Ye posted a video on Instagram with a big rant, essentially saying that these were fake Yeezys. These were not co-signed by him. Adidas are currently suing him for $250 million. They're not paying him for the shoes that they released, and that they are sort of using business smarts, essentially, to sort of mean that he's not getting what he feels like he's entitled to. Now, this news story is incredibly interesting. And of course, we do always have to cross walk a fine line when it comes to Ye, because he has since posted other posts, specifically one where it was a statement produced by Adidas to staff members, sort of explaining how Adidas staff members should address Ye's comments and this release. And in Ye's sort of post, he talks about the idea of being ostracized and sort of how people are treated with mental health issues and things like this. So we always have to sort of talk about the facts when it comes to any sort of Yay story rather than anything else. But this whole thing is incredibly interesting, especially when you look at sort of the statements that Yay's given about Adidas, of course, selling quote unquote fake Yeezys. Physically impossible, given the fact that Adidas have the trademark and the sort of copyright on the 350. And Sneakonomics, Jordan, posted a really good video on his YouTube channel, sort of saying the irony is that if Yay actually released his own 350s, that he would be selling the bootlegs. So from sort of a creative standpoint, it's quite ironic, really. But Adidas are not doing anything wrong, per se. And of course, highlighting the $250 million court case, supposedly, it only makes sense given the fact that Adidas have lost a huge amount of money with this Yeezy departure. I mean, last week we spoke about the idea that New Balance have skyrocketed with their profits over the last couple of years. And the graph that we mentioned that was posted on Instagram was that Adidas was one of the only big players that had actually been making a loss in the last couple of years, inevitably because of the Yeezy line. So it only makes sense that they are trying to recoup a little bit of their losses. But like I said at the beginning, a Yeezy 350 releases, Ye goes on the internet, and it has created quite a polarizing story.
Just slightly. Yeah. The idea of them selling fake Yeezys, I mean, one, it's a grey Yeezy they've released. Apparently there's four colorways releasing this year, but one of them is a grey Yeezy. He has released so many grey Yeezys already. Like, to call it rubbish and corny, as he put them, is just stupid, because quite frankly, you've released such similar pairs. Yeah. The other stuff that he's kind of gone on about, and the language he's used to describe Adidas's behavior towards him is beyond strong and, in my opinion, inappropriate. But, you know, he will do what he wants. And I think, yeah, you know, they're talking about obviously the stock and him kind of criticizing Adidas, its leadership, etc. That's fine. You know, we've all been in jobs where we probably thought the leadership might not be as it's meant to be, but that's what you do. You work within what you have there. Like I say, I mean, the fact that he's saying that they're taking him to court, no one really knows what they're suing him for. There is an article from Business Insider that says that in July 2023, Adidas did actually accuse Ye of mishandling a $75 million marketing kind of fund for Yeezy. And they were actually trying to retrieve some of the money back for that. So I don't know whether that's obviously what they're referring to, because $75 million is not chump change by any means.
No.
But, you know, like I say, no wonder Adidas might be kind of losing money. If you've got Kanye kind of pissing 75 million up the wall doing God knows what, and then Adidas going, hold the phone, hold up, we want some of that back. Not to mention if it is a different lawsuit. But yeah, I mean, there's obviously still a lot of talk about him receiving royalties, and that supposedly he is actually allowed to have royalties still, even though Adidas have cut ties with him. But yeah, I mean, Ye's a bit all or nothing, isn't he? He doesn't really kind of go, oh, well, I'll be not. He's literally just balls to the wall. I'm just going to go all out and say whatever I want about my previous employer. And yeah, like I say, this is just, it's just going to be an absolute pain in the ass for Adidas at the end of the day. Like, it's just going to go on and on and on. He's going to keep going back on social media, keep putting out whatever he wants to. There's going to be lawsuits. There's going to be so much back and forward, and it's just going to cause them a lot of stress, probably lose them a lot of money, and be an absolute pain in the ass for them. Whether Ye is right or not, it's just going to be one of those that it's going to be a very public dispute, I feel. Not something that's handled kind of, yeah, subtly, as it probably should be, unfortunately. But yeah, not the best.
Yeah, it's also quite interesting that it's for this particular release that has caused such a it's caused such
great
a
Yeezy.
No, but it's not the fact that it's a great Yeezy, but it's just the fact that we have had other Yeezy releases in the last couple of months. Like, it seems to be that every sort of couple of months or every quarter we have sort of seen these sporadic Yeezy drops from Adidas. And I don't know whether or not this just me not remembering. I don't know if my, now I'm an old 30-year-old man, I don't know if my memory is just sort of playing tricks on me here, Scott, but I don't remember a big backlash from Ye during the last Yeezy drop. It seems to be something specific about this drop that has caused this
there's clearly something that has triggered it, yeah. Because, I mean, that it seemed to be that everything was kind of, they'd come to some sort of agreement, some middle ground, where they were like, okay, you're going to release these, but, and I'm going to get royalties, but, you know, I'm not going to get this money, and whatever it seemed to be.
It might be the fact that he, again, in his video, references to the idea that he's not been receiving his royalties. Maybe it's sort of, it's got to the point where, yeah, he's not been receiving his royalties. He's been given a lawsuit. He's seen another shoe release, and this is him sort of reacting, well, of like, really? You doing this to me?
Well, I mean, according to the New York Times, He is still entitled to those royalties, even though Adidas has cut ties with him. So whether there is a bit of Adidas kind of, working around the idea of paying him, obviously there was rumors that they were going to not give him any money and use the profits to go to charities that kind of were kind of supporting, kind of fighting against anti-Semitism. But yeah, at the end of the day, it is kind of one of those that all of this has kind of come from his own behavior, and it is a bit of a tricky one because who knows who's right, who's wrong. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but yeah, you're right. Something has definitely triggered this because it's not a grey Yeezy that has gone. He's gone, oh my God, there's definitely more to this.
Yeah.
But
And
what
as
it is.
always, as always with this, the world's going to react to it. I mean, you just look at Ye's post where he's sort of given this document that sort of, there's actually nothing wrong with the document, in my opinion. Like what's on the document is basically, if you look at the picture itself, is a statement from Adidas's sort of corporate press team saying, as you probably know, Ye's been commenting on social media. The fact that they've put Kanye rather than Ye, I think he's a little bit upset within the post itself. He says the fact that they're not even using my name, they're ignoring my name change. But basically, the statement just says, like, if anyone questions you about this particular release, just say the fact that Yeezy is entitled to release this, and that's sort of as far as you can go. I'm paraphrasing. There's three bullet points on the statement, but it just sort of says the idea that, again, Adidas is entitled to the Yeezy design. This is a sort of scheduled release, and anything else sort of send over to the corporate press team. So there's nothing really damning in the statement itself, but again, sort of, when you look at the comments on Ye's post, there's a lot of sort of free Ye, sort of justice for Ye, Adidas of vultures, etc. So there's a huge portion of people that are definitely all for Ye and saying that Adidas are in the wrong here. But likewise, there's also a lot of people on the other end that are saying, like, well, hang on a minute, contractually they're allowed to do this. So it is very polarizing whenever you include Ye, and it's going to be interesting to see sort of how this pans out. But I guess I'm sure there'll be more updates. Now this is one of those articles, Scott, or one of those stories that this is sort of the start, and until we see a settlement on this, I'm sure we're going to be seeing more and more updates in the coming days. I mean, even the statement release was a day or two after the initial post from Ye, so I don't feel like this is going to be going anywhere soon, but we
No.
shall see. And with that, probably a good opportunity to say that's the news. All right, Scotty boy, now that we've rounded up shoes round, it is time to move over to our next main segment, which is, of course, Double Up, Double Down. Every single week, we spend a little bit of time looking ahead at some of the upcoming releases. We pick a shoe that we like, a double up, a shoe that we dislike, a double down, and a sleeper pick, a shoe that will be a little bit lost amongst the hype. Scott, it is you taking the segment this week, so I'll pass over to you for Double Up, Double Down.
Thank you very, very much. So, yes, there's a bit of a caveat with the double up this week because it is a very, very big release. The double up this week is the Travis Scott times Jordan Jumpman Jack in the Sail colorway, although I would probably call it the reverse mocha because that's pretty much what it is. The caveat with this is the slated release for this is currently the 5th of March. That's where everybody is saying it is when it is releasing. However, there is currently nothing uploaded on sneakers. There is nothing uploaded or even mentioned on many sites. And there was some rumors that this had been delayed till April. However, we don't really have confirmation of that delay either. As far as we're aware, sole supplier, sneaker releases, even places like GQ and that are still slating it's for a March 5th release for around, again, $200. So we're coming in probably around 160, £170. But we've seen this shoe everywhere at the moment. It is Travis Scott's first signature shoe. I say first signature because obviously we saw the Sharkadon as well, which is again another signature shoe that it hasn't really released, but we have seen images of. But this is the first to actually get an official release. Travis Scott's first signature shoe, very much following into his kind of style and aesthetic, bit of a skater shoe. It has very, it's the same kind of paneling that we get with most Jordans, Air Force, whatever you want. In this case, like I said, reverse mocha colorway, brown, very much kind of like almost like Vans canvas-esque material
Looks a bit denim-y,
underlay.
doesn't it?
It does. I do like that. With kind of very plush sail leather overlays with a strap across the tongue, with a Jumpman Jack logo embroidered onto it. We've got the kind of more sail, kind of darker sail, reverse swoosh on the side, mid-cut trainer, and also kind of the rubber midsole and the gum outsole that kind of wraps itself up on the inner side, kind of up the shoe, kind of covering over the underlay as well. This has a lovely, nice touch that I think, anyway, the Jack script kind of on the underneath the translucent outsole. This is a shoe, probably the one of the most anticipated shoes of this year. We've seen a lot of different iterations. This did get an original drop kind of in February when the Grammys were on, but it obviously is sold out immediately. So this shoe itself, a lot of people are already calling this shoe of the year. Might be a push, but certainly as a new silhouette, it's certainly one of the best new silhouettes we've seen from any brand for a while now. It's not a heritage model, it's not one that they've pulled out of the archives. It's a new shoe. And yeah, I very much I've been very torn on this pair. As I've seen it, I think this colorway really works on it. I think some of the other colorways I've seen don't make this shoe look not as good as it could be. But yeah, it's certainly good colorway. I think if you're into that kind of dunk style, I think this shoe will probably work very well for you. Kind of baggy jeans, that kind of look. I don't think this is one you can really dress up much. But yeah, I think as a release, this is by far the best release, and kind of strongest release this week. And again, there are going to be a lot of people talking about this as shoe of the year once we get to the end. So yeah, a big release this week.
I don't like it, so it's not a big release for me. Like I just don't. Isn't I don't like it.
It's not your
It's
style.
not me,
It
is
doesn't
it?
work with crop jeans.
Hey, now this could work with some crop jeans. Like
You
if
reckon?
you, yeah, 100%. If the crop was sort of like maybe a bit of a straight leg jean where the you haven't got a cropped roll up, it's sort of like the jean just sits a little, maybe like an inch above where the shoe sort of sits. I actually think that would look quite. It would work well with this shape of shoe where it's more of a mid cut than a high cut. But yeah, I don't like the midsole and the sort of outsole. I don't like that big piece of gum that sort of goes up the side of the shoe. I feel like the shaping of the top of the shoe looks very, very similar to the Mac Attack. And I like the fact that it's more of a slim mid upper. But then what I don't like is it's sort of, to me, it looks like a Mac Attack with a really, really big, thick strap that this shoe would just instantly look better if you took that strap off. And if you didn't have that big gum sole sort of go up the side, that gum sole really reminds me of like a performancey, old school, indoor, like handball shoe. And I just don't like that. Like, it's just not for me. Like, the colorway's tried and tested. We say it a million times, Scott. Sail and brown or cream and brown, like you and a gum sole, you're in for a winner. There's nothing to do with the colorway whatsoever. The actual main shape of the shoe is actually quite nice, but I really don't like the big strap and I really, really don't like the midsole. And I don't know why Travis is really, really going with this big strap on the front. Because even if you look at the sort of Sharkadon that we have coming up, it's again got a really big strap over the toe. And yeah, I know a lot of people are going to be sort of really saying, like you've mentioned, this is shoe of the year. I think as far as innovation is aware and actually giving us something that isn't a Jordan 1 low, I can applaud Nike and Travis for doing this. but this just really is so far from me that I can't humor it. I can't sit here and be like, oh yeah, it's a really nice shoe. Like that, it ain't for me. I don't like it.
It's something different, and I think that's the one thing I do like about this in particular, is it is something fresh on the eyes that
For
I
that,
haven't
I
seen.
welcome it. I welcome it. I'd rather this than another Jordan 1 low. And yeah.
I like the fact the outsole kind of creeps up. I do like that aspect of it. The strap is the bit. It's giving me creative recreation vibes, kind of that type of shoe. And it is one of those where I do wonder how well that part of the shoe will age necessarily, because it is one of those things that's kind of come in and out. But
Hey,
I like
I
gone.
don't. I don't want to make the comparison too much, but hey, you look at something like a Yeezy 2 or something like that, where again you've got big. Or I can't remember, is it the Yeezy 2 or the Yeezy 1 that has straps? I mean, they might have straps in there. I'm not picturing it, but either way, one of the Nike Yeezys has a big old strap on it, and hey, that's still one of the most sought after shoes. Now I know there's people going to listen to this going, "Oh, how are you comparing a Travis Scott shoe to?" Hey, it was Ye's first sort of lot of signature shoes. This is Travis's first lot of signature shoes. I'm just making the comparison that actually a big old strap that we might think doesn't age well, you never know. If this shoe really blows up, it could age well. That's the only comparison I'm making here.
I like the cut of the shoe actually, and the kind of the height of it. And like I say, it is almost, it looks like it has almost like say handball or even some like basketball kind of esque features. It almost looks like a bit of a performance shoe to a degree, but isn't. I think it's struck a decent balance, but I think the colorways for these will be the killer, because I think if you get a good colorway, it'll look great. If you get a bad colorway, this shoe's gonna look terrible. But on that, we'll move on to the double down for this week, which is releasing on the 5th of March as well, 8 o'clock in the morning, as always. £155. We have the Nike J Force One in the Earth colorway. We welcome back the J Force One, according to sneakers. Inspired by its namesake sneaker, i.e., the Air Force One, Nike and modern day surrealist Jacquemus. I'm butchered that. There's going to be another piece Manus on. I can see what's happening there. But this shoe, we've had a couple of iterations of this shoe previously. We've had a triple black, triple white, but it is an Air Force One upper. Very premium materials, premium suede canvas. We've taken away the swoosh on the side and given a tiny little gold, little almost like a badge, a little pin badge swoosh on the side. But the interesting part of this shoe is when we get down to the midsole and outsole. Ballistic mesh base with lovely suede panels. However, we have the very odd midsole, which is hand woven with whip stitch technique, as GQ are describing it. It takes a bit of inspiration from the Prisian label's love of traditional craft and a bit of a nod to the ACG Terra that we've seen a couple of pairs of. But it is a very, very odd outsole, very thin outsole, very kind of detailed, very kind of patterned, intricate. But it is literally directly woven from the midsole to the outsole, and it looks absolutely bonkers. There is probably some people. We say this with a lot, but I feel like the Asian market in particular, they have that style that is just going to make these look so good. That tech wear that they can kind of pull off, that I am very jealous that I cannot pull off. I feel like they might make these look absolutely exceptional, but for me, I just look at this and go, I could never put these anywhere near my feet without looking like a complete twat.
I actually really like these.
I knew it. Knew it.
You were saying a second ago, Scott, that the Travis Scott, the Jumpman Jacks, a colorway is going to make it or break it. If you look at some of the other shoes that have released, the triple black, the triple white, they look really, really bad because you are right. The midsole is so low profile where it's woven
It's
straight onto
mad.
the upper. When you have it in a triple black and a triple white, there's no separation. So it just looks like a really, really low cut shoe. But with this particular colorway that you have here, the Earth colorway, where you have this really nice premium brown suede upper, and then you have the sort of white I'm going to almost call it outsole. And then you have this little yellow strip in the middle that is so small, but I suppose would be the midsole.
I guess it's just weird cushioning, isn't
Yeah.
it? It's got to be.
Yeah. And then you have this sort of lighter brown woven sort of section that combines the upper with the lower of the shoe. I think just the fact that you've got that separation of color gives it enough that actually this looks like a really cool, quirky shoe. You're absolutely right. This isn't one for me either. I would never be able to pull this one off. But actually,
No.
as far as like a cool looking shoe, I actually kind of like it.
I can imagine like big baggy pants with like these
Or
and
even
you
like
know
your kind
big
of
hoodie or
climber
something.
aesthetic or something like
Yeah.
sort of almost like a sort of tech trouser that's not too baggy, rolled up a little bit with these on, sort of like you said, maybe a bit of a windbreaker over the top or something. I feel like this could look really, really cool. Definitely not for me, but there's going to be, we say it all the time, don't we? You're going to walk down Soho or Shoreditch and see someone wearing this and think, damn, I wish I was cool enough to rock that pair. And for that
Yeah.
reason, I kind of like it. I feel like I'm embracing this sort of the idea that not every shoe's for me, but actually someone else is quite cool. I know that completely contradicts what I mentioned about the Jumpman Jack there, that actually I'm saying I don't like it because it's not for me. But I can see the coolness in this shoe, the quirkiness.
Yeah, no, I can see that. But yeah, it's too crazy for me. But we'll move on to a pair that is definitely down both of our alleys. We'll go on to the sleeper pick, and I'm so happy I get to pick a ZX 8000.
Been a
So
while.
it's been so long, and it is a GR colorway, but it is coming in at £100. And I just love it. It's ZX 8000s. It's kind of a combination of light gray and dark gray, kind of suede uppers with kind of a almost, it looks like almost different types of mesh on the toe box compared to the side panels, with like dark blue, like leather stripes accented by light baby blue, kind of blue TPU heel counter, white outsole, white midsole with black outsole. These look really good and weirdly premium for a ZX 8000. There have been many ZX 8000s that I have seen release recently that might be in iconic colorways. You know, we've had the Germany pack and this, etc. I had those, and the quality of them, they look cheap in the pictures, to be honest. And I took a punt and they were cheap in hand. These look really, really good, and they look very premium in the pictures, which for £100. It's great. The ZX 8000 is the best model of ZX in my opinion. I love it. It's brilliant. It's so good. This is one of the reasons it makes me jealous about the London pair that you've spoken about earlier. But I do love these. And yeah, I think if like I say a GR ZX 8000, £100, good quality. What's not to like?
Yeah, I'm not going to go too much into these because I sort of echo exactly like you said. It's grey. The blue hits are really, really nice. I really like the sort of mint on the sock liner. It's a, it looks like a leather sock liner as well,
Yeah,
which
it
makes it
does,
look a little
yeah.
bit more premium. And yeah, the
Yeah,
contrasting
leather liner.
blues, yeah, the contrasting blues look quite nice. And again, like you mentioned, it's got definitely a different woven material on the toe box versus the side. The side almost looks sort of like a waffle weave,
Yeah.
whereas sort of the toe boxes are much sort of tighter knit. But yeah, a really decent pick for a sleeper pick.
Yeah. 4th of March, I've got to mention. 4th of March, these are releasing. But yeah, a good pick. And yeah, on that, do we have a steal of the week?
Oh, Scotty boy, we do have a steal of the week. Steal of the week. I've gone for a slightly interesting one here, Scotty boy. I know we do normally try and have a steal of the week that has quite a big size run. This doesn't, but for anyone that's sort of on the smaller sizes, this is definitely one for you because the steal of the week is the Nike Air Max 1. Keep ripping, stop slipping version 2. Obviously, a big anticipated release last year for the Air Max community, where the first pair is one of the most sought after pairs of sort of recent years. Originally retailed for £145, it's currently on Dover Street Market for £101.50. As I said, funky sizes where it's got a 4.5 all the way up to 7.5, and then a random size 9 and a random size 11. Scott, is it calling us to buy this shoe? I don't know, but
Don't. I've got it in the cart. It's sat in the cart just to double check. I'd like to. I very much liked this shoe.
Yeah, some people loved it, some people really didn't like it. I actually do like this shoe. I think it's quite cool, and yeah, for if you are sort of maybe the towards the smaller footed sort of people, definitely for £101, this is a future sort of classic, I think, in my opinion. So yeah, decent pair to pick up on the sale. Wasn't one I expected to see on the sale.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. These are great. I was, yeah, big fan of these. And yeah, the fact that they are sat in the sale is quite impressive. So yeah, a good little find there. Well done.
Thank you very much. Well, Scotty boy, that moves us on to our final segment of the podcast, and that is, of course, the Doubled Up Podcast, Triple Up. Okay, Scotty boy, so it's in this final segment of the podcast where we get you to blind rank three mystery shoes. The way the segment works is every single week I present Scott with three shoes, one by one, of course, because he's blind ranking them. I'll present Scott with the first shoe. He needs to tell me whether it's going first, second, or third, without knowing what the second or third shoe is going to be. Now, we normally do give a little bit of a theme, and seeing as I've bought my first pair of shoes of the year, and it is a ZX8 thousand, Scotty boy, the theme for this week is ZX8000s. So I feel like it's almost impossible for me to pick a bad shoe, whereas I know last week you weren't too happy with the outcome when we did our bodega theme. But I feel like no matter almost what order you're putting these in, you might be happy with it. So are you ready for your first shoe?
I am. Lay it on me.
First shoe we are going with is a shoe that actually released a couple of years ago and was incredibly limited, because the shoe we are going with is the FC Union Berlin pair. For those of you that aren't familiar with the shoe itself, it is a sort of classic looking sort of grey creamy upper with red stripes, red sort of laces, red logo on the tongue. And then you've got the sort of branding of Union, FC Union Berlin, across the sort of translucent heel cage. Nice sale midsole, but very, very limited, where it was only sort of, I'm pretty sure it was only released in Germany, maybe. I know it was really, really hard to get. I failed miserably.
I was super limited, super, super yeah. limited.
But where are we going with this one? First, second, or third?
Oh, that's a really good shoe. I very much like that shoe. The only thing about it that I wasn't quite sure about was the big Union that was kind of like plastered on the back. But
yeah. This goes back actually to what we were saying the other day, where we were talking about football brands having branding on shoes. This is one I completely forgot about, and actually, it's a really, really nice shoe despite having Union plastered on the back.
Yeah, it is good. I'm gonna put it bottom.
Okay,
and it's not because I don't think this shoe's good. It's just the fact
you know
there
what
are
could
some
happen.
Damn good ZX, and that
you know what
is a
could
big
be.
It's a big back catalog to go through. So yes,
Yeah.
I'm gonna put it bottom just on that premise alone.
Okay, well, we're going into the second shoe, and the second shoe on our list is the Adidas ZX8000 Mitre Japan Pack, which is sort of influenced by the EQT sort of colorway, where it is a sort of predominantly gray and black upper with that beautiful EQT green striping, and definitely a classic ZX. So where are we going with the Mitre Japan?
I'll put it second. Yeah, I do like this pair. It is a very nice pair. It's quite tough actually. I'm very much torn between this and the Union pair. They're both kind of very nice in different ways. So yeah, I'll put it second in the hope that there's something good sat coming. but who knows? There's so much to
So
choose
much
from.
to choose from with ZX8000s. I mean, I really like this pair. This is one of my favorite ZXs, but it's very different to the two shoes that I've just spoken about, because the two shoes I've spoken about are fairly neutral, muted colors with a little hit of with a hint of sort of vibrancy. This shoe is basically a color vomit on a shoe in the best possible way, because the shoe we are talking about for your final shoe, and therefore number one on your list, is the Adidas ZX8000 Bravo from the Fall of the
Oh.
Wool pack. The bright pink upper, yellow heel cage, blue midsole, absolute iconic ZX.
One of the best ZX of all time. It's absolutely, I mean, all of that pack
Oh, yeah.
are
The
fantastic,
Alpha,
but
the black pair, the Charlie, the white pair, and then this sort of the Bravo, which is just, yeah, like I said, a color vomit, because it's very different to the others.
yeah, oh, very different, but yeah, you know, the Alpha is good, the Bra, like I say, the Charlie, fine, but personally, I think this Bravo is the best of the three.
Yeah.
I've just had a quick look on StockX, and actually, the lowest ask is the lowest for the Bravo, but I can see why. It's a bold shoe, but by far the best, one of the best ZX ever. Simple as
You
that.
can sort
So.
of get away with a really bright ZX, because when you think about the original colorways, it's not like an Air Max where the original colorways is sort of like white and red or white and blue. When you think about the original colorways in the ZXs, you've got like the Aqua for the ZX8000, and you've got sort of some of the other like Hydra for the ZX9000. Like a lot of it is sort of big, bold, bright colorways, which means you can sort of get away with doing these sort of
Definitely.
weird ice cream looking colorways for the ZX8000. But overall, Scotty boy, I think you were never going to have a bad sort of 1, 2, 3 here. But the fact that you've gone for, yeah, the Bravo, the Mitre, then the Berlin at bottom, I think a lot of people would agree with you there.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably an accurate list. I think I've done quite well on that
You've
one,
done all
but
right there. You've done
with
all right.
ZX 8000, it's kind of
I
hard.
could have gone anywhere. I could have gone anywhere. I could have gone like all the way back to the sort of AZX series. We could have gone modern. We could have gone all sorts of collabs. So, yeah, there was a lot to pick from. I thought I'd go with some of the ones that are a little less obvious when it comes to ZX 8000s. But to round the podcast off, Scotty boy, do you have a dad joke for us?
Of course I do. Of course I do. Yeah, I'd just like to give big shout out to Pavements for keeping me off the streets.
That was the worst one by far. I'm so sorry.
Oh,
That was terrible. Because I also didn't realize that you were going into the joke. I thought you were about to do a shout out for someone that had given you a joke. And no, that was just the joke.
I mean, yeah. I mean, okay, all right, I'll give
No,
you
no, no,
another.
no, 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 no. We didn't
You
need to do
don't
that.
know, they don't
No,
know
no,
that.
no,
I've
no.
not,
Don't
that's not, that's not.
ruin the content for future episodes.
I mean, I still have another 150 pages to go, so don't worry. And that's with me skipping some. So yes,
Oh dear.
plenty to go around.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, Scotty boy, it's been a pleasure as always. And I would like to thank you, the listeners, for listening to the Doubled Up podcast. Remember, if you like this episode, leave us a 5-star rating and review and share the podcast with your friends and family. Make sure you follow at Doubled Up Podcast on Instagram and use hashtag Doubled Up Pod to be featured on the Instagram page. You can find me, Matt, at Matt_Sibley_ on Instagram. Scott, tell the listeners where they can find you.
You can find me at _sneakerteacher.
Speak to you next week, guys. As always, peace and noose on.
Yes, peace, Manu-san, to everybody out there.